In the sweltering summer of 1964, 14-year-old Lily Owens lies in bed watching honeybees squeeze through the cracks of her bedroom wall. These mysterious visitors have hummed along her skin for years with their high-pitched zzz, both frightening and fascinating her. Life on her father T. Ray's peach farm outside Sylvan, South Carolina, is lonely and harsh. She calls him T-Ray because Daddy never suited this man whose love died alongside his wife 10 years ago. Lily's only companion is Rosaline, the black woman hired to care for her after her mother's death. Lily carries a devastating memory. On December 3, 1954, during an argument between her parents, a gun went off. "This is what I know about myself," Lily confesses. "She was all I wanted, and I took her away." When Rosaline is beaten and jailed for attempting to register to vote, Lily makes a split-second decision. They'll escape to Tiburon, South Carolina, a town name written on the back of a black Madonna picture among her mother's few possessions. Something tells Lily this journey might lead to answers about the mother she barely knew but desperately misses. After hitchhiking to Tiburon, Lily discovers honey jars in a general store bearing the same black Madonna image her mother had owned. Following this lead, she and Rosaline arrive at a bright Pepto-Bismol pink house where they meet three sisters: stern, cello-playing June, emotionally fragile May, and August, the wise mistress of bees. Despite June's objections, August welcomes them to stay in the honey house. Lily learns beekeeping under August's guidance, managing the queen, harvesting honey, and using smoke to calm the bees. The sisters belong to the Daughters of Mary, who worship a black Madonna statue called Our Lady of Chains. The statue's story of providing courage during slavery and mysteriously breaking free when chained captivates Lily as she finds herself drawn into this world of honey, faith, and feminine strength. As July blazes on, Lily adapts to life at the Pink House, working with August's handsome, ambitious godson, Zach Taylor, who dreams of becoming a lawyer despite South Carolina's racial barriers. Their friendship deepens into attraction, though both recognize its impossibility in the segregated South. Their sanctuary shatters when Zach is wrongfully arrested after his friend throws a bottle at a white man. Overwhelmed by this injustice and lifetime sorrows, May takes her own life at the river. During the four-day vigil before burial, August finds May's final note. "It's my time to die, and it's your time to live. Don't mess it up." The bee hum surrounds them at her burial, like souls flying away. After mourning, June accepts Neil's proposal, and preparations begin for Mary Day, the celebration honoring Our Lady of Chains. During the ceremony, Lily and Zach slip away to the river where he kisses her and gives her his dog tag, promising they'll someday be together. When Lily shows August her mother's photograph and the black Madonna picture, painful truths emerge. August had been Deborah Fontenelle's childhood nanny and her refuge during dark times. After years in an unhappy marriage with T. Ray, Deborah fled to August's house, making the agonizing decision to leave 4-year-old Lily behind. 3 months later, Deborah returned to Sylvan, not for possessions, as T. Ray claimed, but for Lily. She arrived with divorce papers and plans for a new life with her daughter in Tiburon. The memory of that fatal day suddenly crystallizes for Lily: the open suitcase, her mother's frantic packing, T. Ray's angry arrival. During their confrontation, Deborah grabbed a gun. When T. Ray wrestled it away, Lily picked up the fallen weapon to protect her mother. The discharge was accidental, a tragic moment that defined the rest of her life. Overwhelmed by these revelations that shatter her fantasies, Lily explodes in grief and rage, destroying the honey house. Standing amid honey-splashed walls and broken glass, she feels hollowed out, the girl she'd left behind, abandoned twice, once by choice and once by tragic circumstance. August shares her deepest wisdom with Lily. "Our Lady is not some magical being out there somewhere. She's something inside of you. Everyone must cultivate their own internal mother, a source of self-love and strength. The Black Madonna represents the voice of courage that emerged when Lily stood up to T-Ray's abuse. August emphasizes that this internal mother never abandons us, unlike human mothers who may leave through death or choice. That's the only purpose grand enough for a human life, not just to love, but to persist in love. When T-Ray tracks Lily down, seeing her wearing Deborah's whale pin triggers something dark in him. He grabs her violently, confusing her with his dead wife. Without hesitation, August and the Daughters of Mary form a protective chain around Lily, their unified strength deflating T-Ray's rage. Before leaving forever, Lily asks if she truly killed her mother. T-Ray answers honestly but compassionately. "It was you who did it, Lily. You didn't mean it, but it was you." As he drives away, Lily turns back to the porch where her new family waits. "All these mothers, like moons shining over me." Throughout the novel, female community emerges as a central theme. The Boatwright sisters and Daughters of Mary create a sanctuary where women's stories are heard and transformed collectively. The beehive serves as a powerful metaphor. August explains that honeybees live in colonies with a queen and daughters who cooperate remarkably. The queen produces a vital substance through physical contact, illustrating how these women nurture each other through meaningful connections. Like bees, the women in the pink house form their own colony, with August as their queen, providing wisdom and guidance. When Lily arrives, queenless and demoralized, she finds her place in this new hive, healing through the loving attention of these surrogate mothers. The Daughters of Mary extend this concept, representing a sisterhood that transcends racial and social boundaries through their transformative rituals. In the end, Lily creates a meaningful shrine in the honey house with her mother's precious belongings: the tortoiseshell mirror, hairbrush, poetry book, whale pin, and their only photograph together. These objects become sacred artifacts, connecting her to the mother she lost and the mother she's becoming. She realizes that you can't really leave your mother behind. She's imprinted in you. She's always there as an essential part of her identity. The bees continue their ancient dance, humming through the walls, their presence symbolizing life's sweet and wild, ordinary and miraculous nature. Like bees building honeycombs in darkness, we all construct inner worlds away from public view, hidden sorrows, joys, and longings often unexpressed. The secret life of bees reminds us that acknowledging others' secret lives honors their complexity and enables human connection. Our deepest wounds can transform, like nectar into honey, into something nourishing when we face our truths and embrace the healing power of love.